Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. We're going to be ranking a game we nominated for ourselves, Oregon Trail Deluxe.
Basically, your whole goal is to get from Missouri to Oregon.
If you get to the end, it doesn't matter how much of your family dies as long as you're there, right?
Well, it actually does matter if you're playing for score, because having everyone is about 2,000 points.
It's 1992. I'm in the computer lab at my school. What I'm playing for is to not be reading or doing anything else. So I'm playing, for that. And then also you get to leave funny tombstones when your kids die. So that's like the real reward of the game, is when your kid dies of dysentery, you get to say, like, Boogerman died of dysentery.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Yeah. Yeah. No. For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
I don't know!
Welcome to episode 146, hopefully, of Chicago Gaming 101's Top 47,858 Games of All Time. And today we are talking about Silhouette Mirage. And this was nominated to us by Scheiß Geist, one of our prolific nominators with one of the best names we've got on the show. The game was developed by legendary company Treasure, and it was published by Entertainment Software Publishing in Japan, and by the monkey paw of localizers, Working Designs, outside of it. And it was first released in Japan on the Sega Saturn, September 10th, 1997, but we're going to be talking, I think, largely about the PlayStation version, which was released July 23rd, 1998 in Japan. And I've been Carl, and I am joined today by...
Kurt Collada, Disco Alucard.
And I am Clade, the monkey paw of podcast hosts.
Yeah, so Silhouette Mirage, it's a Treasure game, which means that it's probably going to be a shmup or some sort of like platformery dealio, because that seems to be what they love to make. And in this case, it's more of a shmuppy, punchy beat-em-up. It's got like quite a few little different elements put together. And they took a personal challenge to make a basically unplayable concept and turn it into a game. Anyone want to cover what Silhouette Mirage is about?
Okay, so you're this strange little girl named Shara Narashina. She is split right down the middle, like not... right down the middle. How do you say this? I guess, she would be, like, half of her is blue, half of her is red. And everything in this game world is divided into two elements. They call them Silhouette and Mirage, but it's basically red and blue. So, depending on which direction the character is facing, she will have attacks of that particular attribute. So, by default, if you're facing right, you'll shoot red, which is Silhouette, and you're facing left, you shoot Mirage. Now, what happens when the enemies, you attack an enemy or an enemy attacks you, depending on the attribute. So if you have opposing attributes, you'll do damage. But if you have the same attribute, then you drain your magic, or they call it spirit power here. And that's basically the gist of it. It is sort of a prototype to what Ikaruga did a little bit later on. Obviously, it works out a little more awkwardly here because it's a side-scrolling game.
I found it really interesting that this one really feels like it would have come out after Ikaruga. Like, they would have released Ikaruga and went, ooh, we can do, like, something else with this concept, so let's do that. Rather than they make this game, and then Ikaruga is a much more simplified version of the idea and is much cleaner, whereas this one is really complicated.
Messy. Yeah. Yeah. I think they had to make Radiant Silvergun first to really get to Ikaruga. So this and that put together is how they got there.
I mean, Treasure has a hard time with complexity some days. They get ideas, and then they're like, but what if we do this, and then we do this, and then we do this, and then they're like, wait, let's just do this.
Well, there's certain things that are kind of interesting. Like, it sort of works like what Alicia Dragoon and Thexter did, where you aim automatically at an enemy as long as you're facing them, which is something that takes a little getting used to, but it does make things a little bit easier. And like Gunstar Heroes, there's a whole bunch of melee moves. Like you can dash, you can slide to get on the other side of enemies, you can pick them up and smack them to get extra money and toss them around and all sorts of stuff like that.
I want to say it's mandatory to do that last one that you mentioned. You really do need to beat the ever-loving stuffing out of most enemies. Interestingly, particularly bosses, a lot of them you are able to grab and beat the snot out of, which
Yeah, like, you can just go and kill things, but you can also weaken them, because when you steal all their magic, then they try to attack and they just can't. So that's when they're vulnerable to pick them up and smack them around.
Which is kind of cool. I should clarify, because the game also mentions this, and it kind of rolls into this, like, weird, complicated... it's not super complicated, but everything just kind of doesn't fit in a way that you can intuitively understand. Like, punching enemies in this game does not hurt them. Enemies are not actually damaged when you grab them and beat the hell out of them. They don't actually take any damage. When you throw an enemy at other enemies, nobody gets hurt. They just bounce.
Because it's not a Silhouette or Mirage attack.
Yeah, no. I know that, but it
makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it is unintuitive. There's a lot of things that, like, again, when you're playing a game like Ikaruga, like, you can very easily, like, understand things. But when you have it in a side-scrolling environment, it's just like you always sort of need to, like, think for a second, and that split second is just what will screw something up.
This game, Silhouette Mirage might just be the Japanese word for unintuitive, judging by this game.
Yeah, like, I mean, the whole, like, core premise is something that this is the first time I really sat down and played this game. I'd heard about it for a while because it was pretty unavoidable, because it's obviously a treasure game, so it's, you know, it's mentioned along with their other games. It's like, oh, it's also a treasure game. But as the first time I sat down, I'm like, how the hell is this going to work? Because it's obviously, you literally shoot damaging projectiles based on which direction you're facing on the screen, which is, I have no idea how they ended up with this, like, idea, because it is very strange. You kind of got to maneuver yourself around and your enemies around in order to do damage attacks, because obviously the basic enemies are not smart. They will obviously just kind of bumble around. They will try and close distance, and they can grab you. But their attacks do hurt you, by the way. So thanks, game. That's really generous of you to.
Well, it works the same way as when you do them. Like, if you get attacked by the same attribute, it'll just drain your spirit.
Draining your spirit does power you down, which is a pain in the ass. Never a fun situation in a shooting, side-scrolling anything where you get powered down. Like, that is never fun. Like,
yeah, because if you get powered down enough, then your weapon just becomes so weak that you're like, you get overwhelmed so quickly. But at the same time, like, you can use it strategically in boss battles. Like, if you have low health but a lot of spirit, you can maneuver yourself so that you take spirit damage instead.
Yeah, it's certainly cool. Like, the bosses are very creative. It's a treasure game, so definitely always worth always worth checking out. I knew I was going to like it when the very first, like, proper boss is, like, a punk toad from, like, somewhere in, like, London. That's where Working Designs is going with this. All right, I can have
The first actual boss you fight, he creates an interdimensional portal where it opens to where a battleship is and just shoots at you.
Man, I never realized this is my first treasure game. So what? This is the first treasure game I ever played.
Oh, but you played other games, like, since,
right? Yeah.
The only treasure game.
I played this game, like, when it came out, so...
Yeah, I was hyped for this game. Like, I had asked for this for Christmas, like, in 1999 from my parents, and it got delayed because that's just what happened with Working Designs games. It didn't come out for a little bit afterwards. And I was kind of disappointed in it. Like there are those games like Dynamite Heady and Mischief Makers, which, like, aren't as good as Gunstar Heroes or Guardian Heroes, and they're, but they're still, you know, pretty okay once you come to terms with what they are. But this game is just much messier, but that's also part of the PlayStation, well, specifically Working Designs English PlayStation 1, which I think almost totally wrecks this game.
Ah, you're one of those. Ah,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so Working Designs, and why I did call them the Monkey Poor, especially...
Isn't that... Mm-hmm. What they call themselves now?
That was a different company.
Oh, okay.
That would be super ironic, but no, in this game,
thinking.
They refer to themselves as Spaz, which has aged not very well.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's more of a, like, well, it's not an American thing. I know it was more offensive in Britain.
It's offensive in British.
It is, like, it's definitely a word that has achieved kind of like, ooh, probably shouldn't use that one. It's not something you should proudly call your company as such.
That wasn't a problem in America at the time.
No, I don't think so, because you got Spaz from Jazz Jackrabbit 2 and stuff. And it's like, it's fine.
Anyway, yeah, that was their label for shoot 'em ups. I think they had, like, the Raystorm and Thunder Force at that point under that name.
It's a thing. It's fine. Whatever. I don't care. It's done. But yeah, like, so yeah, like, they famously made this game one way. And then I think Working Designs did tell Treasure what they were doing. And Treasure were like, yeah, sounds cool. I like it. Like, Treasure didn't hate the changes, apparently.
There's some debate over that, because Vic Ireland had initially said, yeah, we ran this past Treasure and they said it was okay. And then later on, somebody asked Treasure and they're like, what are you talking about? So
Kurt, can you get the exact nature of the changes across? Because this game is such, like, a weird game to explain, I have a lot of trouble gathering exactly what the change is. Can you cover that?
Okay, so there's two major changes. The first of all is, in the original version of the game, attacking does not use your spirit. Attacking only that only determines how powerful your weapon is. So everything will drain spirit whenever you attack, but at the same time, when you drain spirit from an enemy, it restores it. So that restoring part actually isn't that bad, because even in the original version, like, you get in a spot where we were discussing earlier where you just become so weak you might as well just die. In this case, it does give you an opportunity to give it back. The problem is that there are all the secondary weapons of the game that they were balanced, that they suck up so much of your spirit that you, like, can barely use them, or you can use them, like, only very sporadically. And that was, I think, an attempt to balance out some of the weapons of this game, because your main weapon isn't really that strong, but there's this one, like, the super laser letter, I think it's called Grottoni, which is just super, super powerful. And, like, I never found a functional use for most of the other weapons in this game. It's sort of like Gunstar Heroes, where, like, there's, what, like, 16, 20 different combinations, but there's a couple of them that are so overpowered that most people just stick with those.
Yeah, the boss laser or whatever they...
Yeah. So this is sort of like that. So there's, like, you know, in the original version of the game, there's really no reason to use anything other than that weapon, at least as I've ever found, where in the English version, it just drains so much health that it just doesn't... You can't use it that much.
In that case, right?
Yeah, and the other thing is that they made these weapons substantially more expensive to purchase. So you need to, like, basically cash bash any enemy, you know, weaken them, pick them up, and beat the money out of them. Whereas in the original versions, like, you could do that, but you would still have enough money generally to buy a weapon or two and buy the health restoratives, the spirit restoratives as you need. So that
Can I point out that the health restorative in the Working Designs translation, I don't know if it's in the original, but the health restorative is called mana, and it bothers the hell out of me. I twitch every time I buy mana to restore my health. It just... I can't get it. It's just, no, it's not. That's not health.
Oh, I shut off my Saturn because I was playing it before, so I don't forget. I don't remember what they call it there. But yeah, that's something that just ruins the pacing of the game. It doesn't help that, like, even within the levels, it stops to load every once in a while. And the PlayStation version load times are really long, because every time it's like, checking your memory card, would you like to save? Okay, saving. And then it starts to load again, and it just saps so much of the energy out of this game.
Speaking of saving, is the life system different for Working Designs?
Oh, no, that's identical. Life system is one, because you only have one life, but you have nine continues.
Oh, yeah, however it
But
works.
Those continues are, like, saved. So you can still get to a point where, like, if you run out of continues, like, you can't just revert to an earlier save and then they'll be restored. Like, you still have to use those lives and conserve them over the course of the game, which I don't...
My understanding is that the continue system never refreshes and it requires... I think do you get the whatever the fifth ending is that only in the PlayStation release? In order to get that, you have to get like all four endings or some nonsense. Like, there's some like complicated like series of new game plusing that you have to do, and you never refresh your continues. So if you don't know what you're doing, you will basically ruin any chance of getting through this one to 100%.
I don't know, because, like, when I got this game, like, I played it through, and, like, this game's kind of amusing, but I don't really like it. And then I played it again when I wrote the site article, like, 10 years ago, and then... But I never played it enough to get all the endings, so I didn't like it that much.
So
it's got, like, four endings, which are kind of cool, because obviously you've got, they're determined by whether you do well or badly against the bosses, I believe. There's a couple of, like, points where if you lose against a boss, you don't lose the game. It just puts you on a different path, I believe is how it works.
Maybe, like, the last bosses. So I've never, like, actually finished this game because that continue system, like, it just kind of, it's a long game. You die a lot, and then you get to, like, the fifth, sixth, seventh stage or something like that, and you're out of lives, and you're like, oh, I can't reload from another save. I'm just going to die in 2 seconds, and then you have to start the whole game over.
Well,
and
again, because what we're really talking about here is you are supposed to crash bash as many enemies as possible and constantly buy the health, especially in the Western release, like, you have to keep doing that to keep
that's
your health
at 100%. Fun in a side-scroller shooter?
No, it's not fun at all!
And it doesn't help that even in the context of the game, like, there's all the different loads, there's all the different dialogue that you can't, you can skip over certain cutscenes, but a lot of them you still have to fast-forward through. Like, that doesn't make a replayable game.
No, and, I don't know how you guys feel, but this platforming doesn't feel terribly great either.
I like the idea behind it. You kind of just move in a way that's not very good.
No.
It's not, like, dissimilar from something. I don't feel like you're moving substantially different to, say, Gunstar Hero or Alien Soldier or any of their platformers. They
what
all
the
have
hell?
This kind of, like, weird floatiness to them that doesn't feel supernatural.
Treasure just always wanted to make a shmup, I guess, in the end.
But, you know, like, I don't mind it in those games because, you know, like, very few of those games really care to give you, like, a platforming challenge. But the areas in this one are quite open, and I don't know if it's, like, me, if I just suck, and that's possible. But I found, like, moving, like, double tapping, and the crouching system is, like, you have to, like, hold double down or something to, like, get into crouch. And then you have to, like, double tap again to start, like, your slide attack in a way that feels very clunky. I do like that you can run up walls by double tapping and getting a little bit of speed, and then you just kind of lock onto the wall, and it's kind of like almost a Sonic the Hedgehog sort of loop system, which I find relatively fun.
I thought it would, like, come back after, like, the first level.
I don't think it's a major part of it now.
No, I was going to say, the only thing, this game, like, I played it once as a kid, or I played it a whole lot as a kid, because when you're young and you have a game.
Yeah.
And I got really good at, like, the controls, and then I got back to it, and I'm like, man, I remember kind of liking this game, taking a while to learn it and everything. I'm like, oh, these controls.
It does feel, like, less intuitive than, like, all of their other ones. Like, you know, Gunstar Heroes is a bit weird, but you can get it pretty quick.
Yeah, like you said, it's a lot of double tapping and a lot of double tap holds, and I don't know.
Whenever I play this game, because it likes to section you off in arenas, like you have to kill all the enemies before you can proceed, and you just kind of, like, run around and shoot stuff, and it's really chaotic because you're not entirely sure if, you know, your attacks are draining them or if you're hurting them, but you just, you know, keep doing it until you whittle down enemies.
Game. Like, it'll tell, like, you're spiriting down. It's okay at doing that, but it's not great when it comes to you getting hit. Like, you can get hit with no invincibility frames, and then suddenly you go from, like, full health to, like, 12.
Oh, yeah, the lack of invincibility frames is an issue.
Is that the Saturn version too?
Oh yeah. Like other than the way that the item costs, and keep in mind that the Japanese PlayStation version is the same mechanically as the Saturn version. So
really?
It's all
okay.
Yeah. Although the Saturn version is it has some extra background details that got cut out.
Yeah, that's right, because it does, like, things differently than the PlayStation.
PlayStation version has a little bit of a two-player combat mode, which is kind of cool. And you can play as, like, one of the bosses in the end credits for a little bit of fun. They added
it's just one of those weird little things that Working Designs like to stick in, which is, like, not important, but, I mean, they probably shouldn't have, you know, messed with the entire balance of the game instead of doing that.
Thank you, Vic. You're the best.
We really respect... I mean, like, the thing is, like, as, again, like, this game probably would not have been brought across if it wasn't for Working Designs. So we gotta tip the fedora on that one. You know, you gotta really get in there and tip a hat if anyone owns a hat anymore.
I own a bowler.
Well, tip that. In the bin.
Hey.
Tip it in the tip. So you probably wouldn't have gotten this game if someone like Working Designs hadn't decided to do it, because it is like a slightly odd 2D side-scrolling, slightly 3D game that was not overly popular, but was something that there were plenty of them. They just didn't do all that well compared to Siphon.
It's weird how we didn't think. I always forget this is a treasure game until somebody brings it up, and it's like, wait, but why did Working Designs bring it over? You thought somebody else would have wanted new treasure games. Like Konami.
Treasure, they worked with Sega for some games. They published them, but the other ones, like, they had a joint with Enix for a while because they did Mischief Makers and Rakugaki Showtime, and then this was published along with Radiant Silver Run by that ESP, which is like entertainment software publishers company that a bunch of other people
didn't
went through.
Sega do this?
I mean, I think at this point, like, this was a game that was like, because it was 2D and all this and a little bit like weird.
Yeah.
The major publishers were like, oh, nah, they all want 3D, so we're not touching it, you know.
Then again, didn't Nintendo actually publish Mischief Makers in America?
Nintendo needed games, though.
Yeah.
Nintendo was like, oh, God, please, anything.
Yeah, that's like, true.
I remember seeing thousands of copies of Mischief Makers in secondhand, like, oh, and stuff. Like, just so many. That game was everywhere.
I mean, that game was never particularly popular here, too, but it wasn't that common.
I used to see it around here.
Mega Man Legends 2 all the time, let me tell you.
Oh, wow.
But, so we have got this one most of the way through, I think. It's charming enough.
It's
one of those games that I think if you like it, you'll find it very rewarding once you sort of get used to how it plays. It's kind of like, I really like that this game was made, and I think it's a really like cool idea to roll with. I kind of want... like, I really like maybe, like, a Sega Ages style, like, a little bit of, like, a little remake, a little bit, like, some extra tweaks, you know, unworking design it a bit, but maybe balance the Japanese version, which might have been a little too easy, maybe, you know, like, really find that sweet spot of the mechanics that I think neither Treasure nor Working Designs were kind of able to land perfectly, and was why it's never been considered a classic.
I don't know if they really ever could. It's just the very nature of the game is it's always going to be awkward.
And the controls are just weird. See, the problem is this game is charming as hell. I've bought it twice now because I really, really want to like it. It looks cool as hell. The concept sounds neat as hell on paper. And the bosses. Oh, man, those things are so cool. There's one, can I spoil one of them?
Yeah, yes. Go for it.
There's one where he cooks people. He gets all the little Silhouette Mirage guys and the Mirage guys or whatever, and you have to, like, keep
right, the game is really callous to them, isn't it? Yeah, it's so casually brutal.
You were talking how they're kind of stupid, and I'm like, wait, that's right, because they all just kind of, like, laze about sometimes in levels, like, oh, hey, you, we gotta kill you.
Yeah, like, again, they just, like, get crushed, exploded, they just get, like... And, like, I think it's supposed to be, like, spirits or something. Like, they're not really, like, things that are alive.
One of them, they're, like, mutants or something like that.
Yeah, because, well, yeah, like, one of them, or one side, Kurt remembers this, I don't know how, but one of them looks like Stepford Wives, and the other is, like, jack-o'-lantern heads.
Yeah.
And they're just charming. Everything in this game is just so charming, and then you sit down and
it's got all the treasure, like, yeah, it's got that real life to it.
Love that one samurai fish guy in the second level that you fight him, and then he does this, like, supercharge move, and then, like, every people in the apartment outside just start throwing garbage at him.
Yes!
So both you and him just fall to the ground.
Can I also say that this game, it's incredibly satisfying to drain a boss, and then the boss, like, jumps up, here comes my super attack, and then it just goes...
Well,
like, drain out or whatever, and they can't use it, and they're just like...
Yeah. They say something, don't they? Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of voice clips and stuff.
That's one thing I have to give you a little round of applause for, Mr. Working Designs, is those voice clips are amazing.
It's a decent effort. It's just, it just doesn't 100% come together, which is not good when it comes to a game that's kind of so strange. Like, it has to... It has to stick the landing perfectly. Otherwise, you're just going to notice the whole time. You're going to be like, oh, I want this to be good, but it's not.
Yeah, I wish I could rip for this game harder, but it's just a mess.
I will tell you, though, it's got one of my favorite characters in any video game ever, and it's one of the little options you get, and it's a freaking, like, banana duck with giant eyeballs and boxing gloves, and I love it. It's
great.
It's like, drawn by, like, a four-year-old. I love his design so much. He just dances around.
Your weapons are these little parasites, and it's not really clear how she uses them, but...
No, just hang out. And the opening cutscene, which is animated, very nice, like classic PlayStation 1 opening animated cutscene, it clearly shows that they are real characters. They hang out with her. Like, they are next to her in the cutscene.
Yeah,
so they are real things.
You see them in the status bar, but it's not like she's, like, squeezing them or aiming them or anything.
No, they're just, like, I guess they're sitting on her shoulder or something, and they didn't animate that part, is my sort of, like, I don't know. Oh, also, you can buy upgrades for them, by the way. They are upgradable. You buy them at level 1, and they go all the way to, like, level 6 or something. So some of the weapons really suck at level 1, too, which is a pain in the ass.
Maybe that's why I never found a use for them, because I just...
Yes. Because I think that's, like, one, like, a lot of the, like, the game facts will say. It's like, no, you want to beat this game and enjoy this game without a whole lot of mess. Spend a lot of time grinding in the first level, and there's, like, a secret shop or something like that in the first level where it's got, like, the best weapon.
Yeah.
Way upgraded. I checked out that secret shop, but I didn't see, like, anything to buy from it, so I guess you gotta do something else. I don't know if it's a New Game Plus situation.
I never could figure it out myself, but the shopkeeper is also pretty cool in this game, too.
Oh, the little rabbit.
It's a nice, like, in-game shopkeeper, and he says he gives you a bonus when you buy from him. That bonus is he gives you a bit of spirit energy, I think.
In the PlayStation version, does he still show, is this, like, a close-up on his butt when you tried to leave?
Yep. Yeah, I was going to bring that up, but I couldn't remember if I was imagining that or not.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to have to rank this one. That's it. Talk about the bunny butt. We got to move on. There's no choice.
Well, let's look at my favorite
idea. So first up, I know it's in here somewhere. I am just trying to find it. Okay, 216 is Mischief Makers. Nowhere near Mischief Makers. I'm sorry, game.
Mischief Makers definitely better.
So let's go with
down.
Cal's favorite game that was not done well, Unholy War, 275.
Ooh. They're both PlayStation games as well.
If they're both PlayStation games, they're both games we like, and we're
The thing is, like, I probably would put this above the Unholy War, but the reason I would do that is I think that this game is so charming that it's hard not to like it, whereas the Unholy War... It is a bit, like, dry Western Euro kind of just, like, the characters are a bit boring. They feel, like, kind of ripped out of a knockoff heavy metal magazine. They're not... It's okay, you know? Like, there's no real energy to it.
So, actually, I just realized we have Tetris Attack for some reason at 273. I love Tetris Attack. So, somewhere between... So, I don't know what Gazillionaire Deluxe is because I'm some sort of heathen. But,
Bonus! Support us on the Patreon, and you too can listen to the Gazillion. Actually, so was all three of these games were Patreon bonuses.
Yeah, got this feels good.
273, which is Tetris Attack, 274, which is Gazillion Egg Deluxe, and 275, which is the Unholy War, and they are all Patreon bonuses. So if you're listening to this and you're not a Patreon subscriber, you probably have no idea what's going on. But 272 is Ninja Gaiden. I don't think I can, in all fairness, put this above Ninja Gaiden.
That game is
cruel, but it does kind of deliver what it's trying to do in a way that this game fumbles with.
Ninja Gaiden is just perfect 8-bit, where it's like, it's weird and it's difficult for no good reason, but it still works and it feels
like,
fun to play.
Ninja Gaiden at least gives you like a level or two to get used to it before it cranks up to like a billion. This game, basically, when you load it, you've got, like, one screen before it expects you to have mastered all of the basic techniques. It has a tutorial, but it's super boring, as they always are.
Yeah, it's a dry.
I see this around Pulse Man, which is... I mean, I don't really like Pulse Man all that much either. I think this is a little bit better than Pulse Man, but not... Like, this would be the area where I would stick it.
It still puts it above Tetris Attack. I don't know if I like
that. I still wouldn't stick it, like... I mean, I'm not going to rep for it that hard because I don't really like it that much.
As I said, like,
This game is charming as hell, but it's not Tetris Attack.
For me, like, LSD, which is 271, which is above Ninja Gaiden, you know, like, I don't like to put a game that kind of fundamentally screws up its own execution above games that at least kind of did get roughly where they were going. I feel like that's unfair to those games. Like, if this game was even marginally more fun or marginally fairer, I would put it probably, like, a lot higher.
Yeah. This would be one of my favorite games of all time if it was just slightly better.
Oh, I mean, this is specifically in the PlayStation version. Like, I would definitely argue it more if this were, like, the Japanese one. Like, I still don't think it's...
Well, like, that's the problem. Like, even fantastic? The Japanese version kind of does fall short. Like, yeah, it's also a game that doesn't want to be too easy, right?
It's definitely, like, unbalanced. But I'd rather have a game that's unbalanced and fun versus a game that's just where the pacing is a mess and can't do anything.
Okay, so we're looking somewhere not as good as Pulseman, he was saying. Oh, God.
Man, I don't know why Tetris Attack is wherever, but... I am happy to put it above Ninja Gaiden. I'm pretty okay with that in general. Like, I wouldn't put it above Team Buddies. I love Team Buddies. I hate where we rank that. Why did Science do this again?
Yeah, but Tetris Attack. What do you think, Kurt? Above Ninja Gaiden or below Tetris Attack?
I would put it below Ninja Gaiden. I put it in between below. I don't have strong feelings about Tetris Attack.
But you got like, Tetris Attack is like the best. Pulseman is above Ninja Gaiden, but you were like going for Pulseman, but now you're like.
Yeah, I know, because Ninja Gaiden, I would put that like super. That's one of my favorite Nintendo games, so.
Oh, okay. We always do that to you. We've always taken like your favorite games and said, nah.
Well, I mean, there's not any that are too much lower than that. Well, Landstalker is weirdly low, but I understand that game.
Landstalker. We do like Landstalker, but. It is a little bit like this one, but whereas Landstalker is kind of savagely mediocre about itself, this one is at least tries a little harder, I think, so I'm okay putting this one above Landstalker. Unless you guys really have any complaints, I'm going to just put it at 273 above Tetris Attack and below Ninja Gaiden.
I mean, a little...
Okay, that's good. I got to refresh it. This
damn!
Because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like, Tetris Attack is still just another Tetris, you know? It doesn't...
Whatever, fine.
Tell me it's not just another Tetris that's not,
yeah,
like,
I can tell you it's all day it's not Tetris, because it has nothing to do with falling blocks.
No,
the blocks go up.
Does it? Yeah, that's right. It's a weird one.
That's the one...
I don't like Tetris that's different, so that's why it's down there.
I see.
I know, that was contradictory. See how I looped around in the wrong direction? Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's
but, like, do you really want to put this below Tetris Attack? Is that really what you want to do?
I mean, I really, really like Tetris Attack. I play that a lot.
I mean, I can coin toss it if you really want to just go that way.
Oh, you know what? I always like coin tosses. Let's do it.
All right. Let me find my coins here. I've got a pile of coins. I don't think I have a dollar at the moment. I'll get my platypus coin out. There we go.
You guys have platypuses on your coins?
Yeah, this is one of the 20-cent Australian coins. It's from Australia, 1980, and it's a kind of dirty coin with the platypus on it. It's a good design. I like it.
I could flip a hammer, but I don't think my neighbors
please
underneath
flip
would approach
the hammer.
That.
We're going to do all rankings with a hammer now.
My neighbors below would probably not be upset.
Just throw the hammer straight up in the air and cover your head. All right, here we go. Do you want to call it?
Yeah, heads.
All right, so what, heads, it's below Tetris Attack? All right.
Yes.
Here we go. Flipping the coin. Flipping the coin. Crap, that landed behind my screen. Hold on. it is heads.
Woohoo! Finally won one of those.
Okay, that's it. It's heads. It's a picture of the queen. We're done. It's going below Tetris Attack, above Gazillionaire Deluxe at 274. And, I gotta tell you, like,
Man, if you were just a bit better game.
I wish I could recommend it, because I wish I could. And
it's really expensive now, too. Like, last I checked, it got, like, way up. Like, it's spiked.
It's great, because, like, if you recommend this game, that most people won't like it. But there's going to be, like, at least a few people who it'll become their new favorite. And that sucks when it's like, well, play it, but you probably won't like it.
I mean, you guys go to this website anyway. You're probably used to that, so. Play it, just because it's interesting and Kurt likes it. Sort of.
No.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HD Discord. But most Importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it, because you like us, and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.